This is episode 159 on April 28th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Mark Sidowski.
Welcome, Mark. How are you doing, man?
I feel like I have been living in a petri dish for the past month or so.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's been going from one sickness to another. And I'm sitting in one petri dish. I'm like, oh, this stinks. I'm just feeling all sick and bothered. I'm just going to go sit in this other one. What's this one labeled? Cholera? Oh, that sounds good. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have children.
Yep. That's what happens when you have children and when you're susceptible to allergies. Yay. And guess what's happening now? It's spring. And I'm like, do love that warm weather, but oh man, that just means plants just sneeze out their goodness and goes right into my sinus passages. I have been waking up. I know this is riveting conversation right now, but I've been waking up with like complete dry mouth because I'm like just all stuffed up, and then it's just all, oh my goodness. Here's an audio clip of me snoring. Yeah, that was...
To the theme of Jurassic Park.
Well, I have to play something in the background. Because, yeah. You know, you have to fall asleep. And, oh my God, it's just springtime is beautiful, but man, at what cost? Oh, and my kids have been under the weather too, which means they're acting up. So if you hear them in the background, please forgive me.
Yeah, no problems. Yeah, Matt's getting ready for a trip, and so he may join us about partway through the recording. Or at least he threatened. So if he pops in, that's why. But Mark has graciously decided to help not only co-host today, but to record because I'm still kind of working out my audio issues. I had to pretty much re-format my audio stuff, and I've got it probably about 90% there. So we'll see what happens this next week. I think I'll have to test it out more often. But I did listen to our last week's show and noticed that there were possibly clippings and or over-modulation. So if you guys heard that and were sensitive to it, I do apologize. But I'm trying to get this back. I still don't know what I did wrong.
That's just the nature of the beast, especially when you're dealing with something like Skype. It's just, yeah. I mean, we're so dependent on this one format. We still want to get into the video side of things. And by doing this, maybe using Google Hangouts or something like that, we can have at least two forms of recording and, you know, take advantage of the Tiny Shutter TV channel we have on YouTube. So
yeah, I may also have to increase my speeds for the internet, so we'll have to see. We'll give it a try, but that's something we want to try to do, which also means I need to come up with a good backdrop, because unless we use all the Legos in the background or the kids' toys, I need to come up with something that is aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, dude, same here. You know, with that note, you know, we have to get decent cameras too.
Yeah. But so what have you been up to, man? What have you been doing the last few weeks?
Apart from the sicknesses, I have been photographing a couple weddings. And that has been something that I've been doing with the Fuji cameras. I haven't been able to do any of the professional stuff with the iPhones, of course. But yeah,
Right.
It's the beginning of the season, and I'm just getting, you know, getting the rust off me and making sure that no client is paying for it. No, but it's been a good time, and I've just been practicing more and more with the Fuji system and trying to get myself up to speed. And the reason why I'm doing it is I'm trying to lighten my load. The Canon gear, while it's still superior overall, it's still heavier overall, and it just kind of wears on you. Whereas the Fuji system, it's nice and light, and the images are, I think, on ideal conditions, are much more sharp and nicer. And what that means is that pictures, I don't have to do any photo editing afterwards. So I literally just shoot them and give them to the client. And that's really, really nice. It's a huge time saver. However, when it gets dark, that's when Fuji tends to fall off the map a little. And that's where I have to bust out the cannons and do my thing with that. As far as iPhones go, though, I have been doing extensive testing between the Moment lens, the stylus lens, and Oloclip. I have been photographing different things in different types of settings just to finally get to the bottom of which ones are the better lenses. And so what I'm doing is I'm doing some landscape photos, and I'm making sure that there's enough things in the background to make the image, you know, have some detail and noise, kind of like the stuff that's coming from upstairs with my daughter crying. But having sufficient stuff to keep in detail. For example, blue sky isn't going to tell me anything about the corners of the detail. Like, it's blue sky is blue sky. I want to make sure that I have like trees in the background. I want to make sure I have buildings in the background just to see if these lenses can capture the detail without mucking things up. And so it's doing, and then trying to do the center focus on these lenses. So if they're not performing as good, you know, all, you know, the whole picture can, you know, is a center focus at least good enough. And so I'm testing a bunch of shots with that, and, you know, just trying to do this big, massive test so that when I eventually do the video on these, you know, it'll be thorough and no one can control me. Or at least I'll keep the trolling down to a minimum. But it's difficult because every time I try to start to do a video, I run into another problem that's like, oh, I didn't test for that. I really should. And so then I stop testing, and now I've just sat down and just started to storyboard everything that, and I'm trying to think of every possible scenario. And then I'm trying to cut all of that to make sure that I have, you know, at least a 5-minute video for each thing. So I think it's going to turn into a video for the wide angle lens, a video for the telephoto lens, and then one final video as to why these lenses aren't perfect, because none of them are perfect.
Right. The one way to keep from having trolls is to not show your videos.
Well, that's the obvious one. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, these lenses are great, but a lot of times I'm disappointed by the chromatic aberration that happens when you add them to your phone. And it takes away, at least for me, it takes away from my images. So sometimes finding the best or the one that has the least amount of flaws is difficult, and it's hard to do unless you can try it out. And so what we want to do is try to have some videos for people to be able to see and give them a fair assessment. That way we can become a source of quality or not quality,
yeah.
Authenticity, something like that.
We want to do everybody right. Who's the Santa Cruz, T Santa Cruz in the chat room?
Tony Santa Cruz.
Tony. So Tony makes a good point. I want a lens, but I don't want to spend money when it won't work on the iPhone 7. That's a great point. And again, what it's coming down to is that every single lens is going to have some form of chromatic aberration. And that's the other video that I want to make is why do they have chromatic aberration? Why is it happening when you have something like a camera system like Fuji, where it has a fixed, they have the Fujifilm X100 series, and it's a fixed 35 millimeter equivalent camera that looks like a rangefinder. Very sexy, very cool. Love it. Great energy. It's perfect. I love it. It's perfect.
Tell us who your running mate's going to be.
She's great energy. It's just perfect. Not like Canon or Nikon. They're losers. They're quitters. I don't even know where that came from. But what happens is you can actually have a minor lens attachment where you screw on a wide angle adapter or telephoto adapter, and that's essentially what you're doing with the iPhone. So why is it that Fuji can have a system that has no chromatic aberrations and no blurring but your iPhone will? And I'm trying to actually find the proper answer for this, but nobody has any. Nobody's even talking about it, at least from the web searches that I'm looking at. And my own personal guess is that a bunch of things come into play. First, the quality of the glass, as Greg McMillan points out in the chat room. I don't think that these companies like Moment or Oloclip or Stylus, while they do the best that they can with the glass that they're making, they can't get the same glass as a Fuji or a Canon or a Nikon. And I believe they get them from the same source. All of them get them from like the same source too, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. I'm probably mistaken. There's a good chance. So you're not going to have the best optics involved, and that's going to play a role in it. And I don't know if sensor size has anything to do with it either. That could cause something to go wrong with the lens.
The larger sensor, the more the more you can probably fix the flaws, I think.
I don't know enough about about it to really tell. But speaking of optics, let's use that as a focus point.
Well, okay.
Focus point.
Before we do that, I wanted to mention real quick why Tony mentioned the iPhone 7. The iPhone 7 is rumored to be a twin lens camera or a twin camera phone. So how they are going to be able to place a aftermarket lens on top of that is still left to be seen, and I think it's going to be impossible. But go ahead, let's go with that focus point.
Well, more than that, what about the most recent one where you're having this hint at something that we saw a long time ago, but and I'm trying to find the article because this just dawned on me, where you're going to have this folded telephoto lens.
Oh yeah, it's the we talked about it last episode. Apple has done a patent for the telephoto for the iPhone or for a smartphone, which would have a mirror and have a 90 degree projection so that you can have the lenses or the sensor move back and forth in order to get an optical telephoto lens.
So what does that mean? Now, I'm sorry, I didn't listen to last week's episode.
What?
Yeah, I know. Go figure. I'm still catching up. I am two episodes behind because I'm behind on all my podcast listening. And I figure, well, shit, I talked to you guys. So I could probably just get away with not listening to it just yet. I mean, let's face it. You could give me the
okay, just here's the, here's the rundown of my thoughts. The only thing that I think, with especially with the way the 6 and the 6S are, is that the iPhone will have to be thicker than what it is right now. And probably the best body that they could test this on would be the SE model, because it is a thicker body and they can possibly be able to cram that into that phone. So if you're going to have lenses that are perpendicular to the body, whereas they are running parallel with the body, and it doesn't matter the size of the lens right now, if it's perpendicular to the body, it has to be able to fit within the two walls of the phone. So the phones are going to have to get thicker, or the sensors will have to get smaller. And I don't know if that is physically possible. I don't know if you can make glass that small and still have quality.
You could make it that small, but the thing is, I don't believe that they make their sensors. I believe Sony makes these sensors.
Right. So if you have never opened up an iPhone before, the sensors are, or at least the camera portion is at least a quarter, I want to say a quarter of an inch or more in thickness, in width.
Well,
which would be a problem for the iPhone, because it would have to make it probably twice as thick as it is now.
Yeah. And yeah, that I don't think that's going to happen. And the other thing is that people have to realize that they do these patents not necessarily to show what they're going to come out with, but prevent people from doing something that they have in mind. So it's more of a defensive move sometimes than an offensive thing.
Or it not so much as keeping from somebody from doing it, but having a extra source of revenue for the licensing to be able to use that patent.
Yeah, that's cute, because they don't license for squat, not Apple. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I think the dual lens is more probable than this telephoto bit.
I think the telephoto thing would probably be at least 5 years down the road, because they have to work those problems out. There's no way they can do that right now, at least in my opinion.
No, they can do that, but they have such a, you know, they love these things thin as possible. If they're not wafer thin, if they don't dissolve in your mouth, then, you know, it's not going to, they're not going to make it. If Johnny Ives can't, you know, if you don't hear Johnny Ives purring, then it doesn't make it to the shelf. So we
went away from glass and now we're using plastic unapologetically.
Yeah. Only we don't say it as nicely as he does.
So, okay, let's go on to your focus point.
That was my focus point. I think the telephoto lens thing is bunk. It's a nice idea, but I don't see it happening. But I mean, who knows? I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just, it's a nice thought, but if they can't fit it into the size of a hair, then it ain't coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still kind of skeptical on the twin camera angle.
It has possibilities.
It does. It has greater possibilities than the telephoto, but
and it has more merit because, after all, they did buy this technology.
That's true.
And it's much more practical than, say, what Lytro had years ago with their light field shenanigans. Boy, yeah. That was a fun time.
Yeah. And you know, I'm thinking of all the people that bought into it right away and how much they had to pay for those cameras, and to see them on eBay not Craigslist, but Amazon for like $70 is like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm so glad I didn't do that.
Nobody did it. Nobody was that. It's, wow. Lytro, I got to say, is doing some great things now.
Yeah.
But back when they were doing the photography bit, it was, yeah. I know they had to start somewhere, but I mean, this isn't going to be the bash on Lytro because I actually like what they're doing now. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. And, you know, everybody's having a field day right now because, one, Apple, the iPhone sales have plateaued. So, mm-hmm. Naturally, everybody is saying doom and gloom things about them. You know, they only made and only just $5 shy of infinity instead of infinity plus 10. And it's like, all right, guys.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I do think they did a great – I think it was a good decision to go with the SE model because I've heard a lot of people – They were really happy that they had the option for a smaller phone.
I'll tell you what, I think I might go the SC model.
You know, I am due for an upgrade. I got that notification from Apple, and I may go with the SE.
Like,
I'm going to hold out and see what they're going to do with this. I'm going to wait for the announcement, and then I'm going to decide whether to go with the 7 or go with the SE.
Yeah. In my case, like, I don't think I'm going to upgrade to anything this year. But now that I have the iPad Pro, I could just move photos back and forth easily enough. And I think if they make an iPhone 7 SE, maybe. I know it's not happening this year, but, you know, if they continue down this route, I actually might go smaller because while I like the large iPhone, I find it a little cumbersome now.
Dave in the chat room says that he saw a rumor that for 2016, the 6 SE is going to be the model and not the 7, but I don't know.
People will buy the 7. People are going to scramble for it. I don't think they're going to have any trouble selling the 7. I don't think people are going to be upgrading as much. I think that's going to slow down just a little bit, but I think, yeah, they'll be okay.
Oh, believe me, I'm not worried about it.
They'll be able to keep the lights on in their factories. So we'll see what happens. But that's just me. I actually might go smaller only because I have the larger iPad and have been using that a lot lately.
Yeah. I saw Matt online.
Let me try to give him a call if he's ready for it. I haven't seen him come on Skype yet. Are you seeing him on Skype?
As being away, but give him a try. See.
Oh, wait now. There it is. Let's say some words while I do this.
Okay. Purple. Oh, up on the door it says lunch. I got to remember to take my lunch. Those probably aren't the words you're looking for.
But. You fool, it's dinner time.
Yeah.
I give you one job. One job.
Oh, that's funny.
But I mean, here's the thing. It's how many models? They have the 5.5 inch, the 5 inch, and now they have the 4 inch. They're not that they're running themselves thin, but you know, they have a lot out there.
Hey, so. Matt, come on in.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Sorry to crash the party.
Oh, that's all right.
Crash away, man. Hey, where are you heading off to?
I'm going to Michigan to kayak 50 miles down the Grand River.
Nice.
Oh, right.
What you bringing for photo gear?
Well, the battery just... One of the batteries just finished charging for the Sony NEX 7, and I also have the iPhone with me. Right now I have like a little portable battery pack thing charging for the iPhone. I'm going to bring the stylus lenses with me, but I don't know if I'll use them because I will probably keep the phone in like this kind of waterproof case thingy that I got.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind that's like a, it's more like a bag that like seals shut.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty stout. It had a lot of good reviews and I tested it the other night. I kept it like underwater for like 10 hours with some paper towels in it and it passed with flying colors. So
nice.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm really bad about like documenting like adventures like this, like in the kayak anyway. Just I'm always afraid I'm going to drop something in the water. Although I did get a float to float my it just attaches to the little baggie that I got for the phone. So if I do drop the phone in the water, it'll float, which is cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, not that you have any experience with that.
Yeah, I don't care to repeat my ocean adventure. but yeah, it should be interesting. I'm leaving tomorrow mid-afternoon or so, drive up there, probably take like 4 or 5 hours to get there. And then I got a buddy that is kind of caravanning with me, so we'll leave one of our vehicles at the end. And then we'll drive back to where we're going to start and camp tomorrow night. And then we'll be on the river by, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning or something. And who knows how long it'll take, but we're going to do 50 miles in one push.
That is awesome. Oh, I did do, hang on. What, Matt just reminded me of something. I went to a Red Sox game with my dad.
And it's similar to kayaking 50 miles down a river.
Very similar. It depends on the season. But it's the I got to thinking about panoramics. I did something pretty messed up. So I was trying to do a nice panoramic sweep of Fenway Park.
Yeah, I saw that.
We were right underneath the Budweiser sign, which was really good seats, by the way. So what I tried to do is get a series of photos and put them together with Auto Stitch, that legacy app that me and Matt has.
I have it too.
Oh, you have it too. And I'm thinking, well, this is just a lot of work. I don't want to just take these photos. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 3 regular panoramic photos with the iPhone's native app and then take those panoramics, stitch them together. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't great either, but
wait, so it'd be like a super panorama?
It would be a panorama cake. So I do the top layer. So
gotcha. It was layers.
Yeah, it was all layers. And
now you know how you need to do that next time.
How's that?
With the stylus telephoto lens on.
I didn't have the telephoto with me.
Well, there's your big giant mistake.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Was the sun a problem?
The sun was a little bit of a problem. But the beauty about the iPhone is that it's able to compensate that pretty well. I don't know how it would have fared with the lens on top of it, but we'll never know. Because I didn't pay for the tickets. It was interesting. Speaking of panoramics and the stylus lens, the other thing I'm testing to kind of avert the chromatic aberrations with these lenses is that you do panoramic photos, and then just crop them later.
Oh.
But again, that's going to come with the videos. Spoiler.
Yeah, Matt, it's more fun to use the lenses.
Yeah. No, but if you want to take a 4x3 photo and you don't want the edges to be all out of focus with the chromatic aberrations, you just sweep further with the telephoto, with the panoramic, and then just cut into 4x3 after. Okay.
That's a good idea.
It's a little bit more work, but it worked for one of my examples. I need to see if that's going to work for at least a few more.
Very cool.
Matt, you had an epic photo that you posted, I think today, with that dandelion and the purple background.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about that earlier today because, you know, both on Facebook and on Instagram, I got, you know, quite a few comments, really positive feedback on that photo. And I was just kind of thinking about how funny it is the way photography kind of works out sometimes. And I'm sure that everyone's experienced this where, you know, you put a lot of planning into a picture that you want to take. Like, you know, maybe you're traveling somewhere and you have a location in mind that you're going to photograph, and you're going to, you know, get up for the sunrise, or you're going to stay out for the sunset, or whatever it is. And, you know, you get your picture and you're super proud of it, and you post it online, and you really just kind of hear crickets. You don't really get too much feedback. On the flip side, you know, you're not even really planning to take pictures. You just snap a quick picture of a dandelion while you're at the park with your son, and people love it. You know, it's just funny how that works out.
You know what? I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I'll give you my example after you finish yours.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I like the picture. I wouldn't have posted it if I didn't like it. You know, it was literally like a quick shot. Like, I had one comment, I think it was in our Tiny Shutter Facebook group, where a person asked me, like, how did I get the dandelion so sharp? Like, what was my technique? And he was kind of asking, like, if I was, like, on the ground because of the perspective. And I literally had, like, nothing profound to tell him because I don't think I laid down. I was literally just, like, on one knee, basically.
Yeah.
And I could only kind of, like, half see the screen because it was, like, I could sort of see it, and then there was kind of glare on it as well. But I could see the dandelion on the screen. So, you know, all I did was just tap on the dandelion to put the focus there. And I took like three shots because when you're in macro mode and you're focusing that close, the slightest little movement of your hands is going to throw the focus off.
Yep.
You know, so I took like three shots like pretty quick, and I didn't even look at them right away. I was just like, I'm sure one of those is fine. And I put the phone back in my pocket and like went back to playing with my son. And it wasn't until, you know, later in the night that I was like, oh, I should take a look at those pictures. And I looked and I'm like, yeah, this one looks good. It's pretty sharp. And then, you know, the sky actually looked nothing like that. It was actually like super washed out because I was shooting like literally right into the setting sun.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't much color. It was kind of like clouds were coming in and there was like some overcastness to the sky. So it really was kind of like a whitish just blob of a sky. And so that's where the Mextures app really comes into play for me. You know, I think that app does a really good job. So I applied a filter in Mextures and then saved that image and then went into Nlight and used the mixer tool to blend the Mextures edit with just a regular Nlight edit. And I basically erased the Mextures picture off the dandelion so it wasn't so like orange and pink or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was that pretty much.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah. I did the erasing at like maybe like a 30% opacity because it really would have looked like super fake had I done like 100%. Right. And so you have all this orange in the background and then this like bright white dandelion.
Yeah.
I think it looks a little more realistic if you let some of that orange and pink color kind of bleed through. And then the nice thing is with Nlight, when you're erasing at like a reduced opacity, every time you go over the same area, it just takes away like a little bit more.
Yep.
You know, so you could start at like a really low opacity and then just kind of keep adding to it, which is cool.
That's pretty cool.
Hopefully that made sense to everybody.
No, totally. It made sense to me.
But yeah, I'm very happy with the feedback I got on the picture. I like how the picture turned out. It was literally just one of those things where I was like, oh, you know, look at these dandelions on a hill. I bet if I put my phone down at the same level as the dandelion, it would be a kind of cool perspective because I'm not going to get any of the like houses or buildings in the background because of the hill.
Yeah.
So I got the picture I wanted and, you know, I don't know, just tried to make an interesting edit out of it and got a lot of good feedback.
That's a great photo.
Thanks.
Yeah, and if you guys need to hear what Matt said all over again, I suggest going back and hitting rewind.
Rewind? What's that?
Yeah, it's if I ever get my act together over here with computers and whatnot, I really want to start doing some videos on editing because I get asked all the time about it or I get comments about my edits and everything. And while they are a little bit involved, they're not that complicated. So I'd really like to show people like what I do and how I do it. And I think if I could show it in a video, it would just make a whole lot of sense to a whole lot of people. And I think everybody would benefit from it. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm like, you know, the master photo editor or whatever, but I do a lot of like watching how other people do stuff and reading things and learning how the apps work and everything. So I just want to share a little bit of that with everybody soon.
We call that mastering.
Well, I still need a lot more practice.
Right on. The video that I want to do on my set of photo editing recently I posted a photo of a waterfall in Amesbury, Massachusetts. It's the one in it's the middle of downtown. There are a lot of buildings around this little waterfall. It's dammed off, so it's a nice perfect flow over the wall.
Yes.
And what you're not seeing is that water that's flowing over the edge was all disgusting yellow and brown. Oof. And I've been doing a lot of photo editing, mostly in Snapseed, turning it white. And I want to show the process of how I'm doing that. And that one's pretty easy, too. It's simply just desaturating that section of the water and leaving everything else in color.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that image. I think it turned out very well.
That image I spent like maybe 5 minutes on, and it got a lot of attention. But meanwhile, the photos I posted before that were of something that I haven't done in such a long time, and that's work with a model.
Oh, yes.
And this is a girl that I've been wanting to photograph for a long time. She's a very talented hairdresser and makeup artist, and her name is Taylor Harrington. And if you want to find her, just go to one of the photos, and I'm linking her throughout everything. And she was so much fun to work with. And Maude Byrne actually helped me with a photo shoot because he was the dude holding the reflector. And I was doing the entire photo shoot using my Fuji camera. And like, it was just such a great time, and I put so much time into it, and I got mostly crickets on those photos.
Oh, gee, really?
Yeah.
I like them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I actually legitimately like them. It wasn't just like, oh, Mark posted a picture, I'll click like. I did like them a lot.
It was just so much fun to do. And the cool thing is that I was using, I shot everything only in JPEG format. And with Fuji, this is turning into the Fuji podcast. Fuji, you have something called film simulation, which is similar. Like, on the surface, it looks like it's putting on a filter, but it's actually photographing the image differently than it would a normal image. And so this entire time I was photographing in the Fuji's equivalent to Kodachrome. And so everything that you're seeing is the only thing that I did for photo editing was maybe a slight crop and maybe just playing with the shadows a little bit. But otherwise, they're not much editing. It's as close to untouched as I'll allow it. And I was pretty proud of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really enjoyed those images. I'm sort of jealous, you know. I'd like to work with a model, but I tend to stray from doing people. I like doing cars and stuff that, you know, I don't have to say don't blink or turn your head slightly this way or kind of look over your shoulder that way a little bit. Don't look straight into the lens or whatever.
It's definitely something to take you out of your comfort zone, because I'm kind of the same way in that whenever I'm photographing people, it's, you know, at a wedding and I'm photographing, I'm just being a documentarian at that point. I'm not directing people to do anything. And in this case, I have to completely direct somebody to do something that's equivalent to being candid. And that is something that I'm still not good at.
And the models that are good are the ones that know what they need to do. And you know, so they can do different poses, have different things. It's automatic. If you're taking somebody that's never modeled before, you have to mirror to them what you want done.
Not necessarily. Sometimes having somebody that isn't a model is beneficial. I mean, it's hit or miss.
Right.
I could tell you stories.
Yeah, it would be something out of my comfort zone. The times I've done shoots for like senior portraits or for other things, even the weddings, I'm like sweating all the time. And it could be cool out. I'm just, you know, concentrating on what I'm going to do, hoping I don't mess up. And that, you know, in the stress just causes me to, you know, kind of sweat, and then I get hot and then irritated. And it's just, for me, it's like, yeah, I tend to stay away from it, but I need to do it more often.
Again, it's fun just playing around with the different styles. But yeah, that's definitely, I absolutely suggest it. Getting out of your comfort zone is something that everybody should do, and just really puts your creativity to a nice workout.
I think that's kind of what we try to do with the weekly challenge.
Yes.
Nice segue.
Wasn't really trying to go there, but...
But it works.
Post pick of the week.
All right. Yeah, it's time for our post pick of the week. And like Matt says, we use our weekly photo challenge to choose an image that we can use for our album art and for our banner on the Facebook page. So this last week, we chose purple, which the chat room actually gave us the idea. Sort of a way to memorialize Prince, who passed away this last week. And I have to say, there were a lot of images right off the bat that started popping up and has been... In short order, probably one of our fastest growing challenges. And I thought everyone did an awesome job. What did you guys think when you started seeing some of these images?
I personally think there's a handful that are just epic.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to mention, I have one that I'm going to choose. But there were definitely some runner-ups that were not far behind.
Yes. In my opinion, there's a clear winner. But there was a lot of really good ones.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I am choosing this week's post pick of the week, unless Mark, you want to.
No, go for it, dude.
Okay. Every once in a while, you know, we get people that start listening to the show, or at least start joining the group, and they start, you know, posting some images. And at first I was thinking, oh, that's an awesome image, but that's not with an iPhone. Oh, it is with an iPhone. And I'm like, oh man, we've had a few listeners come in and have just really blown me away with the quality of their images. And this image is of a praying mantis. It was done by Jeffrey Lay, and he just this last week had joined the Facebook group and started posting some beautiful images. He did it with an iPhone 6 Plus, and he used the Oloclip macro lens, and he edited it in Snapseed. He actually posted a second one of the mantis also.
I was going to ask you which one was the winner, this two mantises.
Yeah, the one is where you can see most of it, I think, where I want to say the arms are on the bottom left of the image, the lower left of the image, and you can see some of the flower. I think the other one had more flower in it, but this one was a beautiful image. And let's see here. He said in the comment, I hope this picture is in the purple category. It is. It works. It's perfect. It's a beautiful image. Praying mantises are by far one of the most interesting insects that I have c- come across. And I actually had one come up on our porch one time. And a lot of times they're small, but this one was probably about 3 to 4 inches long. And I typically don't see them that big, but they are amazing creatures. And this is an amazing image to me. So, Jeffrey, I think well worth the post pick of the week. What do you guys think?
I love it. I think that first photo is it's just really, really photographed well. The second one, it was okay, but definitely the first one just blows it out of the water.
Absolutely.
And a close second for me comes from Ithaliu, who yes. does these photos of water droplets with this purple light shining in the background.
Yeah, that shot was totally epic.
That was really well done.
It's like the world.
I like the mantis pictures too, but I actually prefer the second one.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a little sharper. And I just kind of like the way the legs are kind of like coming into focus. So it's all like nice and faded. And then all of a sudden there's these like nasty clawed legs coming into focus in the picture.
Yeah.
There were a lot of amazing images. And if you guys have not yet joined the Facebook group or the Flickr group, please join the group and take a look at these images. They're amazing. And, you know, I love showing them off to people who probably are skeptics over iPhone photography. And you guys just keep blowing me away as we go through these. So, congratulations, Jeffrey. You are the post pick of the week, and we will show your image on Facebook and on our album art.
Excuse me.
You're excused. But yeah, so good job. All right. What is what should this week's post pick of the week be?
Not tools.
Ah, come on.
I got an idea.
Uh-oh.
This is, I don't know how popular this will be, but photograph something that has a story to it.
A book.
If you could explain it, then go for it.
What do you mean by this?
It could be something sentimental, but whenever you post a photo, whatever you choose a photo of, in the description, you have to say something about it. There's a story that goes behind this photo.
Hmm.
It could be a fake story. Who knows? But as long as there's a story behind the photo.
I think we had a lot of ideas in our Facebook group also.
Okay, that means that is a horrible idea by Mark. that's well, okay.
No, a lot of times we do commiserate, I guess.
All Greg right, in the chat room says, but Mark, a picture's worth 1,000 words.
I agree with him.
Right on.
So nobody likes my idea of alcohol?
Rubbing alcohol?
Yeah.
Any kind of alcohol. Doesn't matter. Dave's idea was races or running or large groups. I think that would be hard for a lot of people.
Especially if you're in Antarctica.
Which I think we have a small segment of listeners in Antarctica, but not enough to really sway the decision on what the topic will be from week to week. I mean, maybe someday we'll pick penguins as the topic. I don't know.
It says, how about somebody drunk with alcohol? That might be a lot easier.
It could be that.
No, but see, we can't typically put people on our album art, not without their permission.
Especially if they're lit.
Oh yes. Yeah, but you don't have to show their face. I already have some ideas for that exact kind of picture. No,
he's not wrong.
Matt says motion.
See, that's a good one. That's a real good one. I like that a lot.
Right.
There's a lot of different things you could do with that.
Okay.
So I'm really down with the motion.
Wait, motion or emotion?
Motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that changes things slightly.
Mark's gonna get emotional on us.
Not anymore.
Well, cool. All right. So motion it is. We'll do motion. We're going to post this in Facebook and on Flickr. And I am looking forward to seeing the motion images. So cool. All right. Anybody else want to bring anything else up?
I think we could start ending it.
All righty.
Before the Skype gods.
I know.
Shite on us.
I'm just glad
I didn't put some in the airplane mode.
See, there it goes.
Boo!
Matt got a little crusty. All right, Mark, why don't you tell us where everybody can find you?
You could find me on my other podcast. It's called The X Line. You can find it on iPhone, on iTunes, Stitcher. It's just me talking about my personal Fuji stories in photographing that camera system. But I also wanted to make a slight announcement. This is something that we will be doing periodically, at least once a month. But all of us, Matt, we have Joe, and we have myself, and then we have our other colleague, Maud Byrne. We all used to do a show called The Lens Wipe, which is a show that was supposed to be about photography, but in a comedy fun format. Sadly, we never got the comedy right, and it really got people's blood boiling because we didn't talk about photography in the proper way. I didn't learn a thing. Which was kind of funny because the disclaimer was that we would not teach people anything. So we're going to start a show that is simply going to be, it's going to have a title. I haven't nailed anything down, but it'll just be us photographers just sitting back and shooting the breeze. We might talk about photography. We might not. And we are going to use the Tiny Shutter channel for the time being to record live. And again, this is just going to be a once a month thing. If something happens in the photography world or something that we want to talk about, we might do another one. But it's just going to be us just kicking back and just having a good old chat like we did back in the day. And
the off chance that you learn something is clearly by accident.
Oh, yeah. We take no responsibility for you actually learning anything. We'll keep that to a minimum. But just stay tuned. We will keep we will be announcing it in our Facebook feed, our on the show feed. We'll let you know what's happening, when it will happen, and we hope that you guys kick in and give it a listen, give it a try. But this is something that I'm looking forward to because the Lens Wipe, while it was a tremendous and awe-inspiring train wreck, we did have a good time with it, and I do miss that.
Yes.
My therapist says it's that Stockholm syndrome thing, but I don't know. Yes, we will have the live chat, so you guys will be able to witness this live. That's why we're going to use the Tiny Shutter Mixler channel, because it's already set up, ready to go. So, again, we're not going to take away from Tiny Shutter. It might be just, you know, 3 episodes a month for Tiny Shutter and then one of this one, and we'll see.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram. I am Twitter and Flickr at mhoffmanphoto. And if you want to post some pictures to Flickr, you can join us in our Tiny Shutter group at www.flickr.com/groups/tiny shutter. At the moment, we have exactly 400 photos in our group.
Nice.
Very cool. And, man, I'm glad it's not me this week. All right. you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, all the show notes, links to our YouTube channel, Facebook, the Mixler channel, and other things by going to tinyshutter.com. You can also email us at tinyshutter@gmail.com. All right, Mark. Matt, great show, and I'm looking forward to these images that are coming up for the next week. Matt, have a safe trip and capture a lot of images, and we will see you guys next week. Why don't you get us out of here?
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Oh, the one thing I would like to request is this is something that's going to help us out tremendously in the rankings, because we don't like competing with all the other iPhone photography podcasts out on the web. I find it funny that we're still one of the only ones.
I know.
But anyway,
I think.
Yeah, it still helps us with the rankings. But if you can, head over to iTunes, give the show a 5-star rating. Give us a nice review, and just be fun with the review. If you don't have anything to say, just tell us which iPhone you use and what kind of photography you like to take. So, hey. Right on. Cool. All right, guys, thank you for having me back on this week. I swear I recorded the show, so we should be good. And right on. So, take care, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Good night.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Shut up and take my money.
Suck it, Android.
But first, let me take a selfie.